Welcome to the Film Experience. I'm your host, Nathaniel, and I'm here with Nick Davis.
Hello.
And Murtada El Fadl.
How's everybody doing?
And you guys, we have like a week until the Oscars.
And they're voting now.
Like literally a week. We're recording this on Sunday. And I, for one, am really ready for 2 weeks from now, when it's all over.
Yeah, it's hard to feel too much eager anticipation this year.
Yes.
You know, especially since we never know if they'll announce that they've decided to walk back having the Oscars.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Best Actress. That could be nice.
Mm-hmm.
One award. And even Best Supporting Actress, because we don't know who's going to win there. So that's great, too. Those two. The rest, whatever.
And in either of those categories, it seems like somebody good is going to win, whoever it is.
Yes.
The two.
Exactly, yeah.
The two categories we care most about anyways, so. Although it's hilarious that I'm, you know, fighting, you know, present all 24 when I'm kind of dreading who's going to win. A lot of those
that would have been in the commercials.
Right. Like, I love Alfonso Cuarón, but I don't really need to hear him give four speeches in one night. You know?
And we could have been spared two awards going to Vice.
Right. Although I think it's more likely that now we will have to sit through a Bohemian Rhapsody editing win, which might kill me. Just fair warning in case they print my obituary on Monday, a week and one day from now.
I didn't propose this podcast so you could make us feel bad.
This is true.
Why don't we start with editing? Because you think it's Bohemian Rhapsody, but Vice won BAFTA. And remember when 2 years ago, what was that Mel Gibson movie? Hacksaw Ridge won editing at BAFTA first. And then it won at the Oscars. So maybe Vice is winning. They're all terrible movies. Sorry, Nick, but it's what's happened. What can we do?
No, you're right. I just forgot that movie existed.
I mean, you have to give the editing to a Mel Gibson movie that uses dramatic, toxic masculinity slow-mo for war scenes. I mean, that is editing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of slow-mo in Vice. So we might be, you know.
Is there?
I don't remember. I think so. There's a lot of editing in that movie. There's a lot of things happening. The movie ends in the middle and then starts again. That's editing, right?
Most editing.
I feel bad saying this, sort of, but, like, I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody's unfitness to win an editing Oscar is manifest already in how the movie is. But then when I looked up John Ottman, and he's edited 13 movies, and every single one of them has been for Bryan Singer. So as, like, stuff swirls about, like, you know, who hasn't been saying anything, who hasn't been talking about stuff, like, I think it's one thing to, like, act in a movie for a person once and have a hard time. But to be the sort of most intimate collaborator for a long time and be recognized for doing a job badly for somebody that you have made it your commitment to continue working with for 15 years or 25 or whatever it's been. Like
20 years.
Actually, it started with Apt Pupil, so like 25.
Oh, right. Okay. So,
like, that's going to be a rough moment, but I do feel like we're headed there. It would be so nice if The Favorite could win out of that group of five. Having just seen it again, the editing did impress me.
Yeah. I mean, that or Black Klansman, I would be thrilled with either of those wins. Because I think Black Klansman also has the Vice situation where it's most editing. But at least with Black Klansman, it feels very... With Vice, to me, the editing feels... Not haphazard, but, like, what the movie's going for requires sort of a scattershot approach. So it feels like any choice might have been okay.
Yeah.
Whereas with Black Klansman, the editing feels, like, of a piece with what the movie's doing. Like, the editing itself feels confrontational. It's commenting on film and visual messaging, and I like that about it. So, I mean, I'm okay with either of those winning. But my prediction is Bohemian Rhapsody.
And Green Book is not impossible.
No, it is not. Because people still think it has a shot to win Best Picture.
Well, we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Right, but, yeah, but I'm saying if it does, it's going to win something else too. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to win screenplay if it's winning Best Picture. Unfortunately, I think editing goes to Vice. I would vote for the favorite.
Okay. A documentary. Who are you predicting? I think this is actually kind of confusing.
It is kind of confusing.
Because originally I thought, oh, Slam Dunk for RBG, but now I'm not sure.
I think it's Free Solo. That seems to be the movie that people think of as sort of a different achievement, mm-hmm. And something that is cinematically potent. And RBG seems to, despite the subject, you know, mm-hmm. that it's sort of thought of as mediocre. I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm hearing, you know. Mm-hmm. But, well, so that's why I think Free Solo will win this one.
I still think it's RBG, but nothing would surprise me, really, other than maybe of Fathers and Sons.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh.
But I've heard enough to say that I think that would surprise me if it won.
Yeah. It's just rough going. I mean, it is so genuinely eye-opening, so people who watch it may feel like they've learned a lot, mm-hmm. But it's just so grim. Have you seen it, Murtada?
I have not. It's the only one I haven't seen of the nominees.
I guess I'm in the same boat that I would be kind of surprised actually if Hale County pulled it off too. But whatever that leaves, Free Solo, Minding the Gap, RBG. I guess it's there is like biopic addicted in this category as in the acting categories lately. So RBG sounds about right to me. Mm-hmm. I think I would be a Free Solo voter, probably. Although I really like how kind of out on a limb Hale County goes to invent its own rhythms and reimagine what a documentary can be like. It doesn't always resonate in all of its choices for me, and I thought Free Solo was pretty captivating. More than I thought it would be, actually.
So yeah. Who would you vote for, Murtada, since you've seen most of them?
I would vote for either Minding the Gap or Hill County. I think both those are amazing. I guess if I had to choose between them, I'll choose Hill County just because it's different. And in the way that, you know, it's a documentary that sort of could be a narrative, which is sort of my favorite documentary. It doesn't rely too much on people sitting down and talking and being interviewed. It just tells its story. So that would give it the edge for me. Mm-hmm.
So we're leaning either Free Solo or RBG winning.
Yeah.
Animated.
That's our bold stance. Two of these five.
Animated film. I think this is obviously going to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I would say.
But yeah,
my preference is Isle of Dogs, but I do really think Spider-Verse is terrific, so I will be very happy when it wins.
Yeah. Ditto everything you just said.
But remember, guys, I still think it's Spider-Verse, but remember when the Dragon movie was supposed to win, and then suddenly the Disney Pixar that nobody even was talking about, Big Hero 6 won? So never underestimate Pixar in this category. They seem to love it.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Incredibles 2 could surprise, but I think it's going to Spider-Verse.
It already surprised by being bad.
sound mixing editing. I'm smushing them together since the Academy always does too.
Well, one is going to Bohemian Rhapsody. Is that the mixing? It just won it last night.
I mean, don't you think the sound effects editing in Bohemian Rhapsody is completely terrific? What are the sound effects in Bohemian Rhapsody?
So, is that true that even if Bohemian Rhapsody wins sound mixing, which seems likely, for fuck's sake, it can't also win editing, right? Sound editing, I mean.
I mean, it could. It's nominated for both. I don't think it will, though. I don't think it will. Even though I think Bohemian Rhapsody is going to make me very uncomfortable by winning like 3 or 4 Oscars, I don't think sound editing is one of them.
Yeah.
Because they have shown a willingness to separate them in terms of the final vote, even though the nominators do a bad job of separating the categories.
Yeah. So what went sound editing then?
I think First Man actually does have a shot at winning this sound editing. Because I think its fans are quite passionate, and I think they might rally in a place that they think it has an actual shot.
And that's not visual effects?
Well, that might be visual effects, too.
Yeah.
I mean, really, sound editing feels like it could go any direction to me.
I sort of agree with you that I think it's probably First Man, but the spoiler would be A Quiet Place, because it's about silence.
Which is such a sound effect, silence.
I'm actually curious about A Quiet Place winning also, just because it feels like a standout. I mean, it's depressing how there's always a few categories every year. I feel like there's more this year where you're deciding amongst the least of the nominees, which are suddenly the front runners, but that would not surprise me.
Yeah.
Even though I would be a First Man voter so easily all the way in both of these categories.
Yeah. I mean, First Man has an incredible sound, but so does Roma, which it's kind of... I know I shouldn't be surprised that it got nominated in both because it's the front runner, but it does feel like the type of achievement that would often be overlooked, even though it's so obviously deserving.
Yep. I get you.
I mean, that I would be a Roma voter because that scene where, you know, in the ocean where she saves the kids, that's all about the sound. And I remember when watching the movie the first time, I was, you know, like looking behind me. I'm like, is something coming from behind in the theater?
Yeah.
So no other movie had, you know, I never felt that with any other movie. So I would definitely be a Roma voter here.
It's an amazing sound mix.
I mean, I would be thrilled if Roma or First Man pulled off these categories. And I mean, if we have to do a musical drama, I mean, it's insane to me that A Star Is Born isn't maybe the front runner for sound mixing rather than, I guess you have to mix those classic hits, remix them. They sounded pretty much like as they originally were to me.
Haven't you heard, Nathaniel? It's been decided. Star Is Born can only win one Oscar. That's it. The decision's been made by everyone in Hollywood.
So strange. Original score. I think this is a very confusing category this year.
I agree.
Maybe because First Man didn't make the nominations, and it seemed like it had a shot at actually winning.
I actually think Beale Street might win 2 of its 3 nominations, and one of them is going to be score. That's my prediction.
I'm leaning toward Black Panther winning this, but I mean, if Beale Street would not surprise me at all. But I think it's between the two of them.
Have you guys seen the video that's making the rounds of Ludwig Göransson sort of with a flute player as they come up with the sound for Killmonger?
No.
It's really, really good. And he gave a couple of interviews in the last few days. So definitely that campaign is ramping up. So maybe you're onto something there, Nathaniel. And that video is very affecting about how he came with the sound for Killmonger based on this specific flute from this tribe in Africa. And then they show the flute player. It's a really good video. And it really shows you sort of like the thought process that went into coming up with the different sounds in Black Panther. Mm-hmm. So I would think I'm still predicting Beale Street, but I think Black Panther is definitely the spoiler.
Do you have the sense that Nicholas Britell has huge name recognition among the voters? I would feel one way felt to them like, oh, he's the most innovative composer. We'd love to see him with an Oscar, but I don't know how much that registers right now.
I'm not sure I would be qualified to answer that question. I do know that he is one of the most charming, nicest people you can imagine meeting at a party on not during an Oscar campaign.
Yeah.
So he's so nice. And I think he's so clearly going to win an Oscar or three, but I just don't know if it's going to be this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so talented and obviously well-connected. A lot of important directors already have him as their number one go-to guy.
And isn't one of his closest friends Natalie Portman? So we know one Oscar voter.
Yes.
Well, there you go. As Natalie goes, so goes the Academy. I don't find that just to be this way. I'll predict that maybe it could be Black Klansman. Hmm. Just because he's been out there kicking for a long time, and among these movies that are nominated, it seems to have such a kind of robust endorsement across the Academy. There'll be people looking to vote for it, I think, in more than... I don't think this just feels like a give it screenplay and call it a day. And a lot of people have worked with that composer. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I would love it if Beale Street won. I would love it just as much, actually, if Isle of Dogs won. I think that score is incredible. I'm just not positive Alexandre Desplat needs another Oscar right now, but that's maybe my favorite one he's ever done.
That is my favorite one of these five, although I love the Beale Street score a lot, too.
Beale Street score is incredible, yeah.
And, you know, have you guys seen the video from the BAFTA red carpet when Nicholas Britell and Barry Jenkins were interviewed together? And the nicest man in movies, Barry Jenkins, was saying how proud he was of Nicholas Britell. He felt like his dad.
Yeah. I mean, both of those are like the two nicest guys in Hollywood. They both come across that way.
Yeah.
Barry Jenkins and Britell. So we're torn, leaning if Beale Street or Black Panther. I'm just summing up. In case you have poor listening comprehension skills, apparently, I'm summing up afterwards.
No, I was just putting Nathaniel on the spot that he predicted Black Panther and summarized that Beale Street is winning.
Oh. Yeah, I think it's going to be Black Panther, but I could be wrong. Original song.
Probably Busted.
Wouldn't it be the most fuck over moment ever if the one thing that they deigned to give A Star Is Born, they changed their minds the last minute? No, you can go Oscarless.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I wouldn't be mad if, you know, the Kendrick Lamar SZA song won All the Stars. I like them both. I obviously love Shallow much more, but that one is a good song too, so.
Nobody's
maybe
voting.
If you could get that original song score category back and give it to her for the whole suite of them, you know, give her the Purple Rain Oscar.
Yeah. I would do that. Nobody's rooting for Diane Warren on her 10th nomination. Come on, guys.
I already can't remember what she's nominated for.
The RBG song.
Oh, my God.
I'll Fight.
I wish she'd been nominated for Why Did You Do That to Me? Then you could rouse me into some enthusiasm.
Gee, I wonder what's going to win foreign film.
Before you go, before we leave that, did you guys hear that Bette Midler is doing the Mary Poppins song?
And really?
Yes.
Wow.
Apparently Mark Shaiman has been her, like, what do you call it, her conductor or the guy who goes with her on tour anyway. So that's why she's doing it.
Musical arranger or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our musical director, excuse me, on her tours.
It's not impossible that guy could win score too, right? I mean, he's worked on everything, and everybody likes him.
And he's never won.
And he's never won, and it used to be that movies in that genre had a big leg up.
Yeah.
So we're officially predicting all five winners. The rare five-way tie.
Foreign film. I would like to think that people would want to spread the wealth with a bit if they're going to give Roma lots of Oscars, but I don't think that they will spread the wealth. Although yeah. Cold War has not been giving up. People, that's definitely been rallying. I just don't think enough Oscar voters think through their ballots in terms of, like, if I'm giving this 5 awards, I'll give this award an award.
Well, and if they do think through their ballots, they might well come out with, like, directing and foreign film is enough. Now I can give Green Book the prize I've been dying to give it.
Yeah.
We're not to Best Picture yet.
I know.
I sort of agree with Nick. I think it's the strongest category for Roma because everybody who's not voting for Roma in Best Picture is going to vote for it in Best Foreign Language Film. So yep. There's no way it's not going to win.
Right.
Many will vote for it twice.
What's that?
And many will vote for it in both places, even though I wish Shoplifters would win.
Yeah. My vote would be Shoplifters as well.
And then it would be Capernaum. And then I'm willing to start talking about Roma.
yeah, I'd vote for Shoplifters too, for sure.
Yeah. It would be interesting if Roma was removed from the equation, because this is kind of a rare year in which people really love all 5 nominees in that category.
Or I haven't seen
Oscar
Look Away.
Voters seem to.
Yeah.
Do they love Never Look Away? I doubt it.
I mean, cinematography as well.
They love Caleb Deschanel. They love that he backlit them in that one movie that they worked with him on. They love The Patriot. They watch it every day.
Oh, wow. We're going back in time, Nick. Mm. Your library of movies.
My Caleb Deschanel alcove in my apartment.
Next time I come over, I expect the DVDs to be rearranged for a Caleb Deschanel.
They will be. This is the flyaway home room.
And you know, he's been making the rounds. He's like, I've seen like at least 3 interviews with him in the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. And Zooey Deschanel was tweeting about how could they put cinematography off the broadcast. They're working as a family.
I feel like he could obviously win if he gets a big American picture soon. Because mm-hmm. he's been, you know, always the bridesmaid type of thing. And he's very respected, so.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing The Lion King next, so we'll see.
Oh, the live action?
The live action, yes. Whatever that means.
Oh, my goodness. All right, makeup and hair. I want this to be Border so bad, you guys.
Of course you do, me too.
It's never going to happen, but I just, if you were required to watch the movies, I see no way it would lose.
Or even to look at a still from each movie. Just look at these 3 pictures, you guys. Just do it. And if the still was of Steve Carell as Donald Rumsfeld, I think we would be talking about a different outcome. That guy does not look like Donald Rumsfeld. What's going on? Yeah, I don't know. Of course Border should win. I'll just predict that it's going to win just for fun. It'll be an Ex Machina moment. Let's just do that.
That would be a great win. And you know what? If it win, that would be amazing because now it's in the broadcast. So that would be worth, you know, all the turmoil they put us through.
Although hilariously worth it to us. Like, imagine being ABC. Oh, my God. This is exactly what I tried to avoid. There's a bunch of Swedes. Shit.
You know what I think is so weird about makeup and hair is when a movie like Vice gets nominated. And yet, a movie like Monster, I know taking us way back again, can't get nominated, and the actor gets all the credit for the transformation. And yet, in the case of Vice, it seems like we're giving both Christian Bale and the makeup artists. And I'm like, make up your mind, people. Like, when an actor transforms, is it... Which is it? why do sometimes you think it's completely the actor that actually changed their own complexion and their own bone structure, and other times you think it's the makeup artist?
Well, I think the rep with Monster was that a lot of makeup artists felt like the incredible attention that had gone to the face and the head was completely missing from the rest of the body. And like those scenes where she showers after some of the killings and stuff, mm-hmm. and like the complexion hasn't changed, the skin has not weathered. I can't imagine they would have had the budget for that necessarily.
Yeah.
But there was actually a debate in the makeup community about the proficiency of that work once you got past the obvious.
Hmm. Because I always thought that work was amazing.
Yeah, and she thanked her in every speech and was constantly promoting her. And I remember reading a lot of articles about her at the time, but I think that's why that didn't happen.
Okay.
Albert Nobbs. I mean, let's calm down.
Makeup is one of those highly confusing categories to me, because remember when they disqualified the hours because there were CGI help for the makeup? And yet movies with tons of CGI get nominated for makeup. So it's like, which is it? What do you want in this category?
Remember when they were like, just Frida and the Time Machine, because nothing else came close enough to deserve the third. Okay. The worst dinner party in the world. I've invited Frida and the Time Machine.
The rest of you suck.
What would be a worse makeup winner? Vice or Suicide Squad?
Oh, I don't know that I think any of these nominees are bad.
I don't think so either. I don't
answer that question.
I like this category in terms of the nominees. But I do still think it's insane that we can't have five nominees in makeup and hair. Like the one category that's just not cool enough to have five. All the other 23 categories can, but not makeup. Maybe
that can be your hashtag next year. Well, what do you think about it? You asked the question.
I haven't seen Suicide Squad.
I don't see it happening.
I thought
the makeup was
fine in that. Like, I'm not one of these people who thinks that you should be disqualified if the movie's bad. If your achievement's fine, then your achievement's fine.
Do you think the achievement's fine in Vice?
Yeah.
Do you think Vice should have been called Suicide Squad? Not a bad idea.
It's a good title for it, yeah. So are we all sort of saying Vice is winning this?
Yeah.
So...
Although it would be kind of hilarious if Mary, Queen of Scots, won, because let's give her another Oscar for doing Queen Elizabeth.
And then she started thanking Cate Blanchett again. She's so great.
That would be amazing.
Visual effects. Now, I thought this was going to be Infinity War until I actually looked back at Oscar history and realize, oh, wow, superhero movies just don't win this category. Only two in the history of the Oscars, which is kind of crazy.
So Spider-Man 2 was one of them, right?
Yeah.
And Dark Knight?
Superman.
Oh. The Dark Knight didn't win this?
No. Mm-mm. So, and lately, the least...
Oh, Benjamin Button. Right, sorry. Go ahead.
Lately, the least grossing movie has been winning this category, which would be First Man this year.
Oh, God. Okay.
So maybe First Man will win this.
I mean, it is kind of the one of these things is not like the other's choice, sort of.
And it's beautiful.
I'm not biologically capable of voting against Winnie the Pooh in any situation, so I know what I would do. But yeah, give it to First Man. Give it to that fucking rattletrap shit he was trying to fly around in, bouncing all over the atmosphere. What's going on? Why is anybody able to be in that? Does that count as a ship? Oh my God, yeah.
And that whole moon landing sequence is sublime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would vote for First Man too, only because it's the only one of these five that I've seen. So,
oh, you're one of those voters. Bohemian Rhapsody is the best movie this year.
Did I mention Bohemian Rhapsody?
No,
why
but
are
I'm
you
thinking.
Loving me there?
You have a strong libel case, Murtada. That was actually almost a hate crime. Neither of us understands what just happened.
Oh, it's just like
all he said is that he's had the sense to not go see Infinity War and Solo, and you took it to Bohemian Rhapsody. And
yeah, I don't know what's going on.
I just sometimes I see people online talking about how Bohemian Rhapsody is one of the best movies ever, and I'm like, have you seen four movies ever?
Okay, Nathaniel, this is the only category in which I have seen less than four of the nominees. So
I know. And the thing is, I think it's adorable that you refuse to see superhero movies. Even though I like superhero movies, I think it's adorable that you won't go.
Only if Kate Blanchett is in them.
I mean, Solo really called me out because I didn't go, and it's a Bradford Young fucking movie, and I still was like, nope.
Although that's not a superhero movie.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Like, close.
Okay.
It's in the same vicinity.
Is it related to what's ruining the industry? Yes. So I'm just going to call it a superhero movie.
Let's do custom design.
No, I'm doing an order. I'm doing an order so I don't get confused of the charts.
Okay.
And, of course, I have costume designer close to the big six categories.
But didn't we... Did we not do film editing?
We started with it, so we can skip it. I just realized.
Oh.
And then I course-corrected and started from the bottom of the chart. We're working our way up.
Okay. Got
not
it.
That
okay.
Any category is lesser than any other. Don't get the wrong ideas, Oscar producers, directors. Just we list them in a certain way.
I don't know. The shorts are lesser.
I think...
Andrea Arnold's going to hit you in the head.
I think we can agree that after the fiasco of this Oscar year, the shorts are not long for this world. Because something's going to happen where they realize a weak spot that people aren't really going to freak out about.
Yeah.
So what's our next category?
Production design.
So, this is tough.
It is.
Because it's amazing to me that we're in a year where it's, I mean, Roma or Black Panther or First Man would all be things that I would normally find it impossible not to vote for in this category.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are up against each other.
Yeah. And yeah, I think The Favourite might win.
That can always happen. That's true. And that would be a good winner, too.
I think the only one that can't win here is Mary Poppins.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think it's between The Favorite and Black Panther. And they won the sort of at the Guild Award mm-hmm. for fantasy and period. So it's between mm-hmm. those two. And probably because they like, you know, British castles, The Favorite will win.
I mean, they get the British Museum in Black Panther. That's close, right? That's kind of a castle. I mean, this is also a category where it doesn't always go as, like, wonkadoo as the other ones we were talking about. But, like, that year Lincoln won,
yeah.
That was surprising to me. And, like, if just the sheer environmental detail in Roma strikes people, which seems possible, I don't know what's going to happen here. Mm. I guess I'll predict Black Panther just to predict something, but and that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, and Hannah Beechler sort of has the narrative. I mean, I don't know what any of the other designers are about or who they are or what their story is, but I definitely know her as the first African-American nominee in this, and I've seen her face and picture and interviews everywhere from the New York Times to Gold Derby. So she's yep. definitely the one who's making the rounds and the one with the narrative. So I wouldn't be surprised if Black Panther wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm guessing it's between Black Panther and The Favourite, but I keep changing my mind about who's going to win.
I am excited for the day when Nathan Crowley finally wins one, but I know that's not this year.
Yeah. Costume design, another, is it going to be Black Panther or The Favourite? Because I really think it's definitely one of those two.
I think if anybody is following Ruthie Carter on Twitter, who's doing 28 days of costume design, and every day there are tweets about one of her movies and how she made the costumes and the stories behind them with amazing pictures, there is no way you're going to vote for anybody else.
If that's
plus,
if
Sandy
they're
Powell
following.
Just give it to her, you know?
What's
Sandy
that?
Powell might be like, this is so stupid, and just give it to her. Even if she... I feel like this is the win I most need next week is Ruth Carter. Just give me that one. I know I won't actually suck it up about the other bullshit that's going to happen, but I will pretend like I'm sucking it up if you at least give me this one. So those are my terms, Oscar. We're in a hostage situation.
Yeah. I would normally predict Ruthie Carter, given, you know, Black Panther's cultural heft and how great the costumes are, but I'm thinking the default thing for costume design would normally be for The Favourite to win.
Yeah, it would be. But I believe we're in an Aiko Ishioka versus Howard's End situation, and that people can bust out of their reflexes this one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm predicting Ruthie Carter, and she would be my vote too.
Mm-hmm. I think she would be Sandy Powell's vote too, honestly.
Yeah.
Let's just say this is like a category. Like some categories are giving us like terrible options. This is one category that's giving us amazing options.
Yes,
that's so true. It's a good category.
It is.
I
like
that tone.
If Ruthie Carter had won before, I wouldn't be that. I mean, I would be like, give Powell another one. Sure, she's the greatest costume designer alive. But, you know, I want Ruthie Carter to win this one.
And, you know, Sandy Powell is going to be back, if not next year, the year after. Like, there is no way she's not getting multiple more nominations.
Yeah. Cinematography. Do we think this is a slam dunk for Roma? Or does somebody have another opinion?
For what's going to win?
Yeah.
I think it's probably Roma.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, Cold War wouldn't stun me, but I think it's probably Roma.
Yeah. I think so, too. Who would you vote for, though?
I would vote for A Star Is Born.
Me too.
Really? I'm so pleased to hear this. It wouldn't be my vote among those five, but I'm a Cold War voter among those five. But I love A Star Is Born cinematography.
I'm a Star Is Born or Favorite. I think those are the two, which is kind of surprising to me. But I just saw Cold War and Roma again and was surprised that the photography didn't impress me as much on the second go-round with either of them. Mm. I mean, it was great, but...
Yeah.
But what The Favourite and Star Is Born did a little bit more, less ostentatiously, I thought was actually a lot more in service to the film in both cases. Mm. Is that what you think, Rattata?
Yeah, I mean, I love the scenes of the concerts, the way they are filmed. It's just, you're right in there, and I know that's also the director, but it's also, I think the cinematography is just beautiful and amazing, and you're right in there, and the way they're lit, it's just, and the light, you know, the colors, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. All of the performance sequences in A Star Is Born are incredibly shot. So I'm very happy about that nomination. Adapted screenplay.
Spike! Give it to Spike. Just let him win his Oscar.
I think that's what Hollywood is thinking in general. Which, you know, it's about goddamn time, so. But who would you vote for?
I would prefer Beale Street.
I would be amazed I wasn't voting for Beale Street, but I think I would vote for Can You Ever Forgive Me.
I would vote for Can You Ever Forgive Me, too, but I'm going to be very happy when Black Klansman wins.
You know, surprise, I'm voting for Spike in another category, so, you know, coming up later.
Ooh.
Best actress?
Yes.
Original screenplay... I'm so terrified if it's not The Favorite, I'm going to be terrified.
I think it's Green Book.
You think it's going to be Green Book?
I do.
I mean, how can you watch The Favorite? You know, because we know they're not going to vote for First Reformed, even though that's a great screenplay. How can you watch The Favorite and not vote for it in this category?
Yeah. You know, guys, I'm doing a dry February, so I'm not drinking all month. But I'm allowing myself a big, stiff drink if Green Book wins this category. I'm having my drink ready that evening. If Green Book wins Best Screenplay, I'm taking the drink, and I might never stop drinking again. But if The Favorite wins, I'll continue my dry February.
Wait, so does this mean you're going to have, like, saran wrap over an alcoholic drink and then put it back in the freezer? Like, what is happening here if, depending?
And throw away your own glass in the trash can.
I haven't thought it all the way through yet.
Here's my fantasy. That to save time, they decide to present both of the screenplay Oscars at one fell swoop, and the Black Klansman people and the Green Book people wind up having to be on stage next to each other with, like, fucking Anne Hathaway or something in between them. And then it just gives us a chance to watch either Peter Farrelly, like, sprint away in embarrassment, or watch Spike Lee just, like, hit somebody in the face with his finally first Oscar. That would be television. It could be like American Gladiators, but on the Oscars in the screenplay category.
Yeah.
But I feel like that schizophrenic outcome is what we are
heading towards.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is there are no indicators, right? Because The Favorite won at BAFTA, and, you know, they love the Favorite there. So it winning over Green Book there is not an indication of anything. And The Favorite is not nominated at the WGA, so we're not going to know anything before that night.
Right.
But I think it's The Favorite. That's my prediction, because I need to be sane about this and not go crazy in the next week. So I'm just predicting The Favorite.
Did you read this thing about how much Steven Spielberg loves Green Book, and how because what they shared with him was a DCP, so you have to have the code to, you know, launch the file when you want to watch it. And so he had to call every time he wanted to see it again, and he called 5 times because he kept wanting to study the movie. Like, you kept wanting to what?
Wait, study it?
Yeah. Like, he was so impressed with it, and he wanted to see how it had worked and show it to other people. Yeah.
That makes me think it's going to win.
I mean, granted, this is the story from the Green Book people who have established that they are pathological liars, so who knows what happened.
Although I was going to say, I have emailed people several times, like, can you reinstate that password for me? Because this, like, digital screener madness where the password expires in, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
So that's possible that he had to call them 5 times to get...
But after the first time he watched it, he said this was his favorite buddy movie since Butch Cassidy. That's the quote that's going around.
Wow.
Which I'll also point out is a bad movie. But
Butch Cassidy?
You know, sometimes when a friend of yours is, like, really proud of this new jacket they just bought, and it's not that great, but you're just like, oh, yes, that jacket is really nice. It looks really good on you. Just, you know, to be nice. Maybe that's how he was feeling about this movie.
That is as good a theory as any.
That makes me think Steven Spielberg has this laundry list of, like, top achievements in every subgenre so that he can compliment everyone in Hollywood.
That's right.
That is the best lesbian love triangle set in the 17th century that I have seen in years.
That might... Yeah, right.
Maybe that wasn't 17th... Sorry, that wasn't 17th century. I'm off.
You're off by one.
I was trying to make a favorite joke and I messed it up.
Her reign bridged, I think, 2 centuries. I think you're safe.
Supporting actor. Mahershala Ali's got this. Which will continue to mystify me, but it's true.
So here's another fantasy. They go to the after party, and he and Sandy Powell wind up in a corner. And he's like, I didn't even want this. And she's like, oh, my God, I never want them. I totally understand. The one I wanted, they didn't even give me. Maybe they can console each other. Yeah. It's just, like, when I think Richard Grant and Sam Elliott are, like, by far the best performances here, and it's also so obvious that they would be the two most ecstatic to actually win it. So why isn't that enough? Why isn't that enough for people? Why don't you want to make talented artists so happy? Here we are.
Yeah, because it does seem like Mahershala Ali is a little ambivalent about all these prizes.
And his speeches have been getting a little more sort of specific about, like, his stand-in, and which is, like, nice to hear him talking about sort of the people who personally help him. But it's never about, you know, usually people when they win, they do, like, grand themes and the director and whatever. He's going really down the line and thanking the people who personally helped him. So that, I think, is a sign of his ambivalence, too. But, you know, I'm glad he's doing it.
It's so funny that some people can win while being totally ambivalent and others have to be like, I want it, I want it, I want it 24/7 in order to win. And that usually has to do with gender, but not always. Because I think we see in the other male acting category, I want it, I want it, I want it is really, really paying off.
Although they all want it in that category, I think.
Yeah, probably. I mean, does Vigo?
He's went to every event. I don't think that, unlike somebody like Christian Bale, for instance, who didn't go to anything.
Christian Bale was at the Critics' Choice Awards.
I mean, yeah, they go to the, you know, like the ones that are televised, but not anything else. So are we doing Best Actor? We can just skip over it. I think we already did it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rami Malek's winning. Mystifying as it is. This whole Oscar season is...
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. Yeah. Supporting actress. Confusing. I really, really thought people were being silly when they didn't think Regina King was going to win, but now I am starting to doubt it. Because
in relation to whom?
Rachel Weisz.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she won BAFTA. People seem to just love the performance, which I do too.
Yeah, I think it's between those two, but, like, if you look at it a little bit, you're like, they're both have been doing a lot of interviews in the last week or so, but Regina King was in the cover of the supplements, the award supplements of the Los Angeles Times and Vanity Fair, so she's on a lot of coffee tables, and she went to that basketball game and almost died, I think.
I must thank you for sharing that, because I would not have seen that. Otherwise, it just doesn't, there's no crossover with, you know, what I view online, sports game clips. So,
yeah. I only saw it because it said Regina King.
Regina King at athletics demo experiences near...
And the other thing, like, I love 3 performances here equally, Regina, Emma, and Rachel, and I could vote for any of them. But I'm voting for Regina because it's the speech I want to hear of those 3. So maybe some Academy voters are thinking that way, too.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's Regina's to lose. I just think she might, because of the lack overall of, like, general affection for that movie in Hollywood. I realize she, her general affection for her counteracts that, which is why I still think she might win, but I do think it might be close.
Yeah, it could be close. It's complicated. I think she'll win, and I think she should, even though, man, poor Laurie Metcalf, you know, she's just sitting on the sidelines like, man, what a difference a fucking year makes. Fine.
Who?
Laurie Metcalf.
Oh, Laurie Metcalf, yeah, who would have walked away with it this year.
Yeah. Not that, I mean, I'm going to be thrilled to see Regina King win an Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
Not my favorite performance in the movie, but if she's the ambassador for that movie, great.
Yeah. Best Actress. I'm still predicting Glenn Close. A lot of people are switching to Olivia Colman.
Why are we doing Best Actress before Picture and Director? Like, it's less important.
That's a really good point. Okay, Best Director. Alfonso Cuarón has this.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yes.
But who would you vote for?
Spike. I would vote for Spike. And I hope he surprises. That would be an amazing moment. Because remember, it's going to be his second speech of the night. So what else could he talk about after he'd gotten, like, all the things... all the people we wanted to thank off, and then he wins another one, and now he's going to tell it, like, hopefully.
And maybe Green Book will have won original screenplay in between those two speeches. And so then we're really creating a circumstance where something could pop off.
I mean, if ABC wants to make this show relevant, they should rig it so that he wins Best Director, so that we get that second speech.
Oh... I mean,
I would vote for Cuarón.
I love four of the nominees, so I'm not sure I would be. I would probably vote for, if I were an actual Oscar voter and not for my own awards, I would probably vote for Spike Lee just because I wanted the industry to finally say, here you go, Best Director, you know. Although, in my own awards, I'm not saying that's who's going to win. They haven't made those decisions yet.
It will remain one of the big mysteries of this year to me that we just couldn't get a conversation about Ryan Coogler being in this category. Like, it didn't ever materialize as even something that should happen. And, like, that to me is similar to your makeup thing of, like, if the whole narrative around Black Panther is how extraordinary it is that they managed to completely honor that genre while also allowing it to do so much it doesn't usually do, like, why did he get none of the credit for that? And I had the same questions about Creed. I just don't understand it. And if he were in the category, I would certainly pick him.
I think I know why he's not in the category, and I think it's specifically that the industry views those movies as producer movies.
Oh, I'm sure. And, like, but even if they wanted to honor him for executing the needs of the producers while also, like, the producers aren't who got that ensemble performance out of that cast.
That's true.
Got them so on the side of, we've got to do this, but we can also do this, I promise. Like,
right.
It's weird that Black Panther didn't turn into a bigger, like, why Michael Jordan was not a contender, why it just seemed like a strange ceiling about how enthusiastic people were going to allow themselves to be, even though I thought everybody loved it.
Yeah, but it's the same thing, you know, why you and I, Nick, don't watch most superhero movies, right? That bias is there always.
Yeah. Yeah, we should consult. Whenever people talk about the superhero bias, we should consult with Murtada. So which one superhero movie did you deign to see this year?
Black Panther, of course.
Right.
And it was a great one.
No, I mean in general. Like, what are you going to see in 2020? Or 2019? Which one?
Well,
don't say Captain Marvel.
No, I'm not seeing that. I don't know. If Cate Blanchett does the next Avengers, I'll see that.
Well, Michelle Pfeiffer is in the next Avengers, so just saying. She's probably on screen for 2 seconds, but she is in it.
But I heard it's like almost 4 hours long. So life does not. That's too much of
it
my time.
It is currently 3 hours long, and they're considering not cutting it down at all.
And Michelle Pfeiffer somewhere saying, is that that thing I did in La Jolla for that 1 week between the trip you took? Was that Avengers? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was fine.
Best Picture.
Are we going to rank them like the Academy's supposed to do?
Ooh. I think they get 5 votes, right? 5 preferential.
I think 5 is in the nomination. They get to rank all the nominees now. Hmm. I think so. I mean,
my number one of these is easily The Favorite.
Easily?
Yeah.
Whoa. You used to like Bradley Cooper.
I mean, that's my number two.
Yeah, but you said easily. We all heard it. You said it twice.
I know, Nathaniel. We heard it.
Yeah, no, but let's just do our top three. Otherwise, it'll take forever. My top three, The Favorite, A Star Is Born, Roma.
Mine are The Favorite, A Star Is Born, and Black Klansman.
Black Panther, A Star Is Born, Roma.
And Black Klansman is a close fourth, I just want to add, for me, of those top three. Like, I'm very happy I got a Best Picture nomination.
What do you guys think is going to win?
Roma.
I do think Roma is going to win, although I would not be surprised by Green Book.
There is a theory being floated out there that Black Panther might win just because it's probably the one that has the most consensus and the one that maybe people will not put at the bottom of the 8.
Mm.
And it won SAG Ensemble. And I would be happy with that. I hope that happens or Roma wins. Those two of the potential winners are the ones that would both make me equally happy.
I think Green Book's going to win.
Okay.
We can move on, but, you know.
So I guess I'm going to be an alcoholic. All right, then. Let's do it.
Well,
I'll see you at the meetings. We swim. That actually makes you better. I learned that at the movies.
I will say, you know what? With Bohemian Rhapsody in the mix, Bohemian Rhapsody has really, in a weird, weird way, kept me sane about all the other movies and categories, because all of my ire has directed in this one place.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of like, well, whatever happens elsewhere. The idea that people are actually listing Bohemian Rhapsody as their favorite thing this year in any category makes me crazy.
I'm completely prepared for the fact that that might also win. Like, that's possible.
I don't think it's possible. If it was going to win something, it was going to win Best British Film at the BAFTAs, and it didn't even win that, because it's a British film, it's about a British icon, and even the Brits were like, eh. So, that is just me. That is one thing I'm sort of hanging on to, as that Bohemian Rhapsody is not going to win. But I want to say that I feel all the way you're feeling, Nathaniel, about Bohemian Rhapsody, about Green Book. And that's just, that would be like, ugh, I don't even want to think about it.
Mm. Although if we subscribe to the theory that some Oscar years are just rough, maybe have everything bad happen this one Oscar year so that the next few years can be amazing.
But given how things are going, they might just cancel it from now on.
Let's move on to happier thing and talk about Best Actress.
Best Actress. A category where I like all 5 performances.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I have to say Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress, like, are very good. Like, you know, Amy Adams aside, 9 amazing performances. And even Amy Adams is a good performance. So they did well with the actresses this year. Go Academy.
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but I hear what you're saying. You know, in most years, I would be happy with any of, well, not any, but a few different outcomes. But I really, really, really want Glenn Close to win. I'm sorry, I just really do.
Yes, it would be amazing. Is, you know, after all these years and this amazing career, she gets her moment. She gives an amazing speech, like,
because anybody,
know, that,
yeah, because anybody thinking, oh, we'll just wait until Sunset Boulevard. No, she's not going to be as amazing in Sunset Boulevard as she was in The Wife. She's just not.
Also, you've been waiting for Sunset Boulevard since 1996. So at what point do you stop waiting for
Sunset
Boulevard?
Well, supposedly there's now a director.
Well, supposedly Flora Plum is being directed by Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
And supposedly Wicked now has an opening date, you know, whatever.
Christ. Yeah, it's going to be so amazing when Glenn wins. And
but people think Olivia's going to win all of a sudden.
Because she won the BAFTA. She's a national treasure in the UK. It's just like, that doesn't mean anything. I don't think. I think Glenn's got it.
I'm inclined to predict Olivia, but in the same way that I also predicted Timothy Chalamet, and I also predicted all kinds of, like, surprise come from behind. I mean, I do think that even though I think we may share this in common, like, I actually think The Wife is also a fine movie, and I'm not part of the, like, she's great, but the movie's bad. But the number of people who do think the movie's bad and the kind of internationalism that we see in the nominees across all kinds of categories, like, mm-hmm. I do wonder how much the, like, it's Glenn's time necessarily translates to the kind of people who voted for Cold War in three categories. And The Favorite is just such a kind of milestone in cinema this year, and mm-hmm. a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
Even people who don't like it, like her.
And, like, that's a win that regardless, in any year, people would be totally fine with Olivia yeah. Colman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not going to look embarrassing. It's just going to be sad if Glenn loses again.
Yeah. I mean, it's an embarrassment-proof category. It can't be embarrassing. I still can't decide whether I'm voting for Olivia Colman or Melissa McCarthy. And I think Lady Gaga and Glenn Close are great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like all five. I would vote for Olivia, but personally, but I'm so happy. I'll be so happy to see Glenn win. And I also think that Olivia Colman is someone who's thought of as this a fantastic talent, somebody who's going to get so many nominations and is going to win several Oscars. And I think people are just going to wait. They usually, when they think of somebody like that, they don't give them the Oscar on their first nomination.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're correct, because I will say this about The Favorite, even though it's my favorite movie of the year, it's this weird, weird circumstance where I kind of think all three performances are equal. Not just in the fact that I've been harping on that they're all leads, but that I really don't, every time I say I have a preference, I change my mind between the three of them. And so it's like a rare case where I actually think the sum, the whole is much greater than any individual performance.
Mm.
Which is why, to me, it's like the ideal, like, give this an ensemble award. Just because I can't picture any of those performances without seeing the other two. That's my feeling about it. That's why I wouldn't really be tempted to vote for Olivia, even though I think she's great in it. Just because, to me, Glenn Close is The Wife. She's the whole movie, and I like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Olivia Colman, I'm like, she's great, but so is Emma Stone, so is Rachel Weisz, so are the costumes. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. I'm just in the other boat that, even more on second time than first, I feel like she's at a completely different level from the other performers. Mm. And I don't think anybody, I like everybody fine in it, but she's the only one who's complicating or deepening that script to me beyond, I think it's incredible what she does. Mm. And the most different stuff is asked from her from beat to beat and moment to moment, mm. I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I love the movie, and I'm sure if Glenn was not around, I would be like, you know, trumpeting for Olivia constantly. All right, wow, we're way over time, but of course we had to go make it.
We presented all 24. It's what you queened have been asking for. We did it.
We even added categories.
We did.
Did.
And notably all actress categories.
Now we'll sing all 5 nominated songs in full. I'll begin with Buster Scruggs.
Oh,
all right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and happy Oscar watching, as happy as you can make it. Maybe keep a drink in the fridge that you're not going to use to get drunk until you need it.
If there are emergency phone numbers, you should have them in handy in a visible place if you realize that the bottom is opening up beneath you.
Wow.